Chapter 9. Who is my mother?
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. While he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood outside, asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, "Who is my mother, and who are my brethren?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brethren, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Can a mother forget her child? That appears to be the opposite question from this one, which seems more an issue of the child forgetting his mother. But it is not. In the end, the questions converge. My wife has carried our 6 children to term. She was always, always aware of it. Sometimes uncomfortably aware, even painfully aware, but always lovingly aware. My wife nourished each of our 6 children herself, from her own body. She has always been aware of that. Even while sleeping, she has given them sustenance in her sleep. That is a remarkable thing. But she has also been able to do other things while carrying each child within her body, or even while nourishing them as infants from her body. In fact, it is kind of amazing the number of things she can do while physically holding a baby in her arms, whom she is nursing at that very moment. I don't think she has ever forgotten any one of those children in her arms. It would be nearly impossible to imagine her forgetting. Nearly. But I can imagine it, if I really tried, because I've seen her doing things while feeding the children. So it isn't strictly impossible to imagine a mother losing focus on a child she is presently feeding. And if it is possible to imagine that, then it is also possible to stretch that further, to imagine a kind of perpetual state of forgetfulness of a child, even as that child is physically connected to you. It is unlikely, but possible. The Lord tells the prophet Isaiah, "For the sake of all Israel, even if you can imagine a mother forgetting a child at her breast, I, the Lord, will never forget you, whom I claim as my firstborn child." I get the sense that in order to imagine that kind of devotion, I ought never to imagine God as a mother who does other things while nurturing us, which is pretty much a necessity for human mothers, especially, but not only, for their own sanity. Divine attention is unbroken and undivided, like a mother's, but also more. So did Jesus indict his mother for inattentiveness? Has he forsaken Mary of Nazareth as his mother? Is he making himself a free agent, ready to be picked up by other would-be mothers in place of her, or alongside her? I know more about modern-day Italian-American mothers than I do ancient Jewish mothers, but I have a hunch that they share at least one thing in common. That is, neither would take very kindly to the seemingly piercing question of Jesus, "Who is my mother?" I know at least one Italian-American mother who would be quick to remind him. Jesus is, of course, redefining kinship according to the acceptance of the will of his Father. To accept his Father's will is to accept him, and vice versa. He is at home in his Father's household, and those who share life with him will make their home there, too. At first glance, it would seem that Jesus relativizes Mary by this question. On the contrary, however, he is highlighting her. This becomes especially clear in Luke's Gospel, where Jesus' words are slightly different. "My mother and my brethren are those who hear the word of God and do it." In Luke's Gospel, This twofold definition of discipleship runs all the way through. A disciple is one who hears the word of God and acts on it. And right from the beginning, the singular figure who does precisely that is Mary of Nazareth. Her discipleship is the very basis of her motherhood. When the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, she listens. She does not shrink in fear or lash out like Zechariah did before her. Rather, she considers silently and then seeks to understand, and she connects what she hears to the continuous narrative of the God of Israel. She hears the word of God as the word of God, rather than according to what she otherwise thinks God should say or mean or do. She waits on the Lord. She does not judge him or apply her expectations to his words. She receives this word on God's terms. And she acts on his word. She speaks of power in the Lord's terms rather than the world's terms. She allows her own heart to be wounded for this child whom she received as she accepted the word of God. She gives herself to this child, even when it means accepting his sacrifice, and thereby making the ultimate sacrifice herself. "Who is my mother?" Jesus asks. As with all his questions, there is more here than all his listeners, us included, think at first. His mother is indeed the one who does the will of God, or as Luke puts it, who hears the word of God and acts on it. The one who carried him in her womb and who nourished him from her own body is the same one whose attention was, from the very start, wholly given over to him in obedience to the Father's will. Can a mother forget her child? This mother does not. She is his mother in every sense. She also becomes the mother of all those who become his disciples, nurturing them to hear as she hears and to act as she acts. In accepting the Son of God as her own beloved Son, she accepts all those whom her Son claims as his own. To them, that is to us, she is the mother of mercy, attentive to our needs, active in seeking our good, all in obedience to her Son, the Word of God. When Jesus encounters the wayward travelers on the road to Emmaus, he does four things to transform them into his disciples. First, he silences them because they talk too much and listen too little. Second, he reconfigures their imaginations according to the scriptures. Third, he teaches them about divine power as the will to suffer the consequences of the world's power games, rather than playing along. And fourth, he fills them, sending them to proclaim him as good news, with haste and as a sacrifice of praise. In sum, they are nurtured into what Jesus' mother is, a disciple who ponders, whose memory is shaped to the scriptures, who moves with the divine power of mercy, and who sacrifices. To become disciples is to become her children, and so his brethren. What Mary is by flesh, she is also by faith, the mother of the Father's only Son. Those who become Jesus' kin do the will of his Father and are nurtured by the faith of Jesus' mother. She never forgets her Son or his brethren. She is his mother and ours. Prayer. Father, thank you for giving us the mother of your Son.